join me in a word of prayer, please? Father, let the words of my mouth proclaim your truth. Prepare a place for that truth in our hearts so that it has a maximum impact, that it will not return to you empty, but will accomplish your will for your glory and your name. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Last couple weeks, we've been in John. It's like the week of Luke, the year of Luke in the lectionary, but we can never seem to follow that like exactly. So we've been in John for a little bit. In the last 2 weeks, we're back-to-back the same reading, like, you know, just following one continuous line of thought. This week is not, and normally that disturbs me, because we're jumping around, and I got to give you a little bit of context and kind of that kind of stuff. But the thing that I realized this week is, you know, John jumps all around the place anyway. He's not necessarily chronological. He follows festivals and kind of does whatever he wants to do. So I'm just rolling with John now. We're just going to go with whatever he feels like talking about. We're just going to talk about it. And Jan kind of set the stage for that a minute ago, because this is Good Shepherd Sunday, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But right now, let's begin by looking at this reading. So at that time, no introduction. Here's your introduction right here. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. And so the Jews gathered around him, and they said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, just tell us plainly." Have any of you ever had this conversation, by the way, with somebody who, claimed either Jesus never said he was a son of God? I've had this conversation going years back, and it's taken a few different forms. I had one guy who told me he never said he was a son of God. He said he was a son of man, not the son of God. And I'm thinking, well, you know, there's some selective hearing going on there. He did say he was the Son of Man, but that's an interesting title in and of itself. In the Old Testament, Ezekiel talks like he was Son of Man this, as God addresses him, and that means just mortal, you know, normal human being. But it's also referred to in Daniel, this apocalyptic judgment kind of figure ascending from the clouds and lightning, this Son of Man who's going to, you know, bring judgment on the earth. And that's clearly not just a man. And well, golly, I don't know. Jesus is both of those things, though, right? He's human and he's divine. And so when he says Son of Man, boy, there's a whole, which does he mean? Well, actually, kind of means both. But there's more questions packed in there as well. You know, if Jesus was just to tell somebody plainly, "Are you the Christ?" Well, he could say, "Yeah, yeah, I am," as a matter of fact. But the next question is sort of, well, what does that mean? Because people have all kinds of different opinions as to what it really means to be the Christ. They're talking about just tell us plainly. Well, you need to sometimes ask a better question. I am the Christ. But if you're thinking I'm just liberating you from Rome, think again. I actually came to die for your sins. Die for my sins? What are you talking about? Why would a man dying for my sins, how would that even work? Just one person dying for the sins of another? No, no, I'm dying for everybody because, you see, I am also God. See how one question just leads to another? You're God, but the Father is God. Well, there's this thing called the Trinity, right? I am the Son, but not like a son in the way you understand the Son. I'm eternally begotten by the Father. Just tell us plainly who you are and whether we should believe in you or not. You know, the Pharisees, to a large degree, they're just after information. They just want simple answers to overly simple questions. And Jesus recognizes that information really isn't going to help them all that much. Here's a newsflash for you. The demons knew who Jesus was. Didn't help them all that much. And so Jesus takes this question that's talking about information and he kind of steers it a different way, because information is not the key. Relationship is the key. He answers them, I already told you who I am. And as a matter of fact, well, I told you don't believe. See, it's the works that I do in my Father's name that bear witness. So it's not just about what I say, it's about what I've done that point to my identity. And with this very plain answer that goes on for a little bit, we'll come back to that, but let's just skip to their reaction. He says, I and the Father are one, and they pick up stones. This is beyond the reading, but this is what happens immediately afterwards. They pick up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, hey, all that good stuff that I did, is that what you're coming to stone me for? And they say, no, blasphemy. Because you've claimed to be one, because you told us plainly that you are not just the Christ, but you are the Son of God. See, he's given them information, but they don't have that relationship, and so the information doesn't benefit them at all. Well, what about that relationship? That relationship, he describes in this way. See, he tells them, you don't believe because you are not among my sheep. He brings up this metaphor that's been perpetuated for a long time, this shepherd-sheep relationship. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And then follows it up, almost on cue, I and the Father are one, for which they, pick up stones, and they want to stone him. Because he's described this relationship as being the key, but given them information that they weren't prepared because they're not in that kind of relationship with him, this shepherd and sheep relationship. And you know, this is a it's a metaphor that has gone on really for a long, long time. And I wanted to mention just for a minute, I did a little bit of research this week about shepherds and sheep. I've never personally been around sheep all that much, horses, cattle a little bit, but sheep, no. One thing I ran across was the shepherd metaphor was actually used quite a bit by the Romans. I had no idea. And early Christians started sort of taking this metaphor and using it for their own means. So they would almost mimic some of the Roman frescoes, but they would have Jesus in there as a shepherd. And this will upset some people. If you've never had conversations about this before, I've heard this before, the Christmas tree isn't a Christian symbol. It's a Druid symbol. You just appropriated that for your own means. Well, that's okay. Because guess what? God made the tree anyway, so we can take it back and use it however we want it. So the idea that Jesus is going to use this shepherd image for his own means, it's okay. It's okay to use the Christmas tree for our own purposes as well. I don't know if you've ever seen the commercial. I saw it, I think, before I got here, but, I mentioned earlier the Got Milk. There's a commercial with a guy, I think, bungee jumping, and he goes off the end, and it ain't tied to anything. And rather than Got Milk, it says, Got Jesus? It's appropriating a common phrase or common, advertisement for Christian purposes. There's something going on right now, if you haven't noticed it before, the Jesus fish. It's supposed to be our symbol, but other people are appropriating it for all kinds. And you've seen all the Darwin things. Jan and I were driving around yesterday, and there was some lady with a Jesus fish that said cat on it. I don't even know what she's trying. Is cat Jesus or God? I don't know. But these battles are going back and forth about who's going to sort of control or appropriate symbols for their own purposes. And that brings me back to the symbol that's really at the center of today's conversation. Not just the shepherd, because this is how Jesus describes himself, the shepherd, the good shepherd. But the problem I think that we have with this metaphor is, guess what that makes us? Sheep, right? And none of us want to be sheep. None of us really like that. Well, as I said, I read just a little bit about sheep this week. And one of the things that I found out secondhand, from a book by this guy named Philip Keller, who wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. Some information that you may or may not find useful, we'll see. One of the things that he claimed right off the bat was that sheep aren't actually stupid. People talk about sheep like they're just dumb. They're just the dumbest animals on earth. And he claimed, no, they're actually not stupid. They don't see very well. So they can't necessarily find their way in and out of pens, but they hear well. So this metaphor where Jesus says they hear my voice and they recognize my voice, sheep actually can recognize the voice of their shepherd. Kind of cool. Now, it's also true that they're sort of indiscriminate eaters. So they require some care. You've got to keep them away from poisonous plants. They just eat them up. They also graze really, really close when they eat the grass. They eat it really close to the root. So if you let them just hang out in one place, they pretty much destroy their environment. Also, because they have multiple stomachs, they're subject to something called bloat. So if they lay down wrong, the gases will fill their stomach and they'll flip over on their back and they can't get up at all just by laying down wrong. And then there's this guy. I don't know if you've ever heard or seen anything about this. This guy's named Shrek the Sheep. He's dead now. But back in 2006, they found him. He's a sheep in New Zealand. He hated being sheared so much that he hid out in a cave for 6 years. That's why he's so big and woolly here. Hid out because he hated something that was good for him. And hid out until he can't even see anymore. And they sheared him actually on live TV. It was a whole news thing. As sheep go, he's a pretty famous sheep. So I started thinking about all this stuff and I thought, you know what? Sheep are stupid. They are. They are stupid. I don't care what this guy says. They lay down wrong and they can't get up. They destroy their environment. They run away from things. They hide from things that are good for them. They are stupid. And then I thought, you know, I actually eat things that will kill me all the time, according to my doctor. I've been known to hide from things that are good for me. And, well, I've slept wrong on my neck before and hardly been able to get out of bed. And then I thought, you know, stupid, you don't need to label things, right? That's not good for anybody. You don't have to put labels on things. But sheep just have different challenges. And I have challenges. We all have challenges. But then I realized, you know what? Honestly, none of those things are the real problem that people have with sheep. The real problem, I think, that people have with sheep is the way that we always associate them with mindlessly following. People or things or whatever. And none of us want to be considered as mindlessly following anything or anyone. This is most prevalent, I think, when we're young. When we decide, I'm not doing what that older generation is going to do. I'm going to do my own thing. And we end up, you know, with gauge earrings and tattoos all over our bodies, and you want to upset one of these people, just ask them. So in order to not be like anyone else, you invented the gauge earring then, right? You must be a millionaire. You just came up with that idea all on your own? That's brilliant. Well, no, I didn't actually invent it. You know, I saw somebody else do it. I thought it was cool. Oh. But the tattoos, what made you think to put ink inside your body? It's going to be there like forever. It doesn't ever wash off. You just thought of that on your own? Well, no, actually. In fact, I flipped through a book of tattoos and just saw something that somebody else did, and so I copied that. So you're really just following a different set of people. And before we all get, the older crowd in here, get too uppity, you know, there's this thing called the 1970s. Right, and I could have gone on and on and on, and many of you had, or maybe still in the back of your closet, have outfits just like this because, hey, that's what everybody was wearing at the time. And I can go on. The 80s has the same kind of stuff here. I mean, heck, we, as a people, we wore powdered wigs at one time because everybody was doing it, and big hoop skirts. And if you were living in that time, you would have done it with the next generation just like everybody else did. Because it's not a matter of not following anybody. It's really a matter of who you're going to follow. I don't want to follow this big group, so I'm going to follow another different group. And that brings me really to the question at hand, is whose voice do you want to follow? Because it's not a matter, again, of not following anybody. We all do, to some degree or another. We're all going to follow someone or something. Is it going to be the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd? Because there's good news with that. Jesus didn't just ascend and sits at the right hand of God the Father and has nothing to do with us at all anymore. He lives and walks and breathes with every single one of us now. And He leads us, still waters, just like the 23rd Psalm says. He's not disengaged. He is absolutely engaged in each and every one of our lives. And He wants us to hear His voice. Even when we're Shrek the sheep, out hiding in a cave, running away from what's good for us, Jesus seeks us out. And He wants us to have that relationship with Him. Not more information, but a saving relationship with Him. He wants us to hear His voice. But the question is, who are we listening to? And who are we going to follow? Let's pray. Father, my prayer for myself, as well as everyone in here, is that we would listen to Your voice, the voice that offers eternal life. Lord, to whom shall we go? Only You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. Father, let us listen to the voice of Your Son. In His name we pray. Amen.